We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning.
Senator, the issue of same-sex marriage is very personal for you, since you're one of a small number of openly gay state legislators. How has your presence in the state Senate affected how your fellow senators look at the issue of same-sex marriage?
Well, in a way, it's hard to say. I suppose you'd have to ask them. But I think being able to relate to a colleague who is openly gay, you know, it takes some of the no-nameness away from it. It takes some of the scariness away from it. You know, I sit with them, I debate with them, I go to fundraisers with them. And so, I mean, I can only think that, again, it takes sort of the scariness and the otherness away.
As we know, the state Senate is closely divided between supporters and opponents of same-sex marriage. The issue will probably be decided by a small number of senators who are on the fence. Are you talking to those senators who are undecided right now? And if so, what are you saying to them?
I mean, I talk to senators every day about this issue. In my political career, it'll probably be the single most personally important issue that I deal with. And, you know, when I speak with them, I talk about civil rights. You know, I see my colleagues as very, you know, fair-minded people who want civil rights for the state of Rhode Island. They may have some concerns. I see the concerns, you know, more they sort of cleave along two lines. Either they're concerned whether or not it's what their constituents want and whether they can get reelected, or religious concerns. And, you know, as we know, this is a vote of conscience. So with religious concerns, I hope that the protections that are in the bill, which are strong, will convince them. And I do believe that the train has left the station. The public opinion on this issue is changing so rapidly that I do not believe it will be a concern for constituents. Look over in the House, Frank Ferry and Gordon Fox. I mean, they've gotten elected year after year after year. And I just don't see that as an issue.
Let's go to Scott.
How about your personal journey? You went to Brown, I know, and you actually came out in college, but you're from upstate New York, a conservative community. What was your personal journey like in telling family, friends, people like that?
Gee, Scott, I would say it really was the primary reason why I did not return to Buffalo, New York. My family was very Catholic. You know, my father went to church not every Sunday, but every day. So I come from a very staunch Catholic background, and I have three older brothers. So, you know, when I discovered this issue in college, there was one place I was not going, and that was home. So, you know, Rhode Island, and it's kind of interesting with our history with Roger Williams, Rhode Island was a haven for me. I was able to be out at Brown. It's such an amazing and welcoming place. And that really set the stage. You know, once I was out at Brown, there really was no going back as I transitioned into a professional life here in the state.
Well, it's interesting. It seems that with more and more gay folks coming out and deciding to live their lives openly, that you've gained momentum on this issue.
Undoubtedly. I mean, David Cicilline, Gordon Fox, myself, you know, the list goes on nationally and in the state and even in other sectors, you know, in business, in politics, in, you know, nonprofit groups. Every day, people know more and more gay people, and again, they see that we love the exact same way that heterosexuals love. We eat dinner the same way. We go have drinks the same way. It's just, it's really a non-issue.
This is 2013, and you're in your second term in the state Senate. Even now, there's still a strong old boy network sense to Rhode Island politics. What has your experience been like as a woman in the state Senate, which is a little more of a conservative body than the House of Representatives?
It's been a very positive experience. And, you know, perhaps it's because we have a female president, you know, Teresa Pivoweed. She paved a lot of roads up in the Senate. She was, I think, the first chair of judiciary, then went on to be the first woman majority leader and then Senate president. So, you know, yes, of course, there are many men in the Senate, more men than women, but it is a very friendly place to women. And I don't even see those factions, if you will. You know, the men in the chamber relate to the women in the chamber. And frankly, it's a very collegial group. We all get along very well. And there's a lot of discourse.
When you were first elected in 2010, you succeeded Senator McBurney, the longest-serving member of the chamber. What led you to run for public office?
You know, I was one of those people who read my two newspapers every morning, the Pawtucket Times, the Providence Journal, and I would say, there ought to be a law. Somebody ought to do something about this. And as I went on in my legal professional life, I was asked if I would serve as the associate judge in the city of Pawtucket under the chief judge, who was then Senator McBurney. And we became friendly, and I took a little bit more of an interest and had an opportunity because of that friendship and our working together as judges in Pawtucket to get to know the Senate, et cetera. So when he was stepping aside, it just was a sort of an easy step.
Speaking of Pawtucket, it's a city that's had some struggles financially. I'm just wondering, what do you think of Governor Chafee's budget proposal, and is there enough aid in there for some of our older cities and towns?
Well, there's never enough aid. You know, obviously the cities and towns need the help of the tax base. Rhode Island is so interesting that we are such a small state and we don't have that huge tax base to either support a capital city of Providence or give a lot of aid back to cities and towns. So those are challenges. As I said, there's never enough aid. But I am always heartened by the collegiality and the working relationship. Governor Chafee is trying, I think perhaps his experience as a mayor, he is trying to give more aid back to the cities and towns, and obviously that's much needed and very well deserved by those cities and towns.
Speaking of the economy, the State Senate recently issued a report called Moving the Needle that's meant to improve the economy here in Rhode Island. Of course, you haven't been in the Senate for all this time, but the Rhode Island did go into recession about 6 years ago. Why do you think the General Assembly hasn't acted sooner to try and improve the economy?
Well, I think they have tried to act sooner. You know, witness the 38 studios. That was an effort to try to do something, you know, favorable. The Senate Finance Committee meets, it seems like, round the clock. I mean, everybody in the Senate is well aware that jobs and the economy are the primary issue, and that's what the people want us to get to, and that's what we need to do. We need to turn this economy around, and I see lots of debate about that issue as well and lots of activity, and I think the General Assembly is doing its best to try to weigh in on that issue.
And just to follow up briefly, as you said earlier, you came to Rhode Island from upstate New York. Rhode Island sometimes seems like the inertia state. It's very charming. We have a lot of great qualities here, but the unfinished nature of improving the economy remains a central issue. Why do you think Rhode Island struggles so much to move forward on jobs and the economy?
Well, part of it, I think, is our small size and the state departments that we have. You know, we need to bear the administrative costs of all the state departments that we have. And therefore, you know, a lot of that money comes from the general fund. So for instance, in a state the size of Massachusetts or New York, when you take all of that tax revenue and then you have to support administration, it's a very small percentage of the tax revenue. You got a lot of money left over to do things. We don't have that luxury, if you will, in Rhode Island.
Well, do you think we should smarten up finally and maybe consolidate? We have 151 pension systems, 77 fire departments, 42 different school districts. I mean, isn't there something we can do to make it more efficient?
Bingo. I am absolutely about regionalization. You know, the school districts is a primary area where, you know, I've always said I would divide the state in four quadrants and at least start with four and in a variety of ways, try to regionalize, try to bring down those administrative costs so that we can take a greater share of the money and put it into actual progress programs and works.
Yeah, I mean, there seems to be a lot of bureaucracy in schools. I mean, all these different superintendents. It's almost like some days I'm wondering, if you don't sweep, cook, or teach, what are you doing in the school?
Senator, you're a lawyer, and lawyer is the most common occupation that we find among the 113 senators and reps in the General Assembly. Is that a problem, that there's such a heavy concentration of lawyers and perhaps other occupations are not as well represented?
I don't think so. In the Senate, actually, I don't think it's the number one occupation. I counted one day just out of curiosity, and I think there's only six or seven, maybe eight lawyers in the Senate. So it's not a vast majority or anything like that. And, you know, if there's six, seven, or eight out of 38, I think, you know, lawyers are well-educated and well-positioned to move the state forward and weigh in on the issues of our time.
Eight lawyers, 16 opinions, right? One other just quick thing here is, as far as school aid, do you think that this year you'll be able to have the money to finance this?
It's my hope. I mean, all of these things depend on the revenue projections and how tax revenues come in. I hope that with there some stimulus of the economy, and that will stimulate tax revenues, and that we'll have the money available to fully fund the school funding formula.
And we're almost out of time, but beyond same-sex marriage, what are your other priorities for this session?
Well, really, you know, jobs in the economy. You know, I want to be involved in anything that moves my city forward and the state forward. And, you know, we need to take a even more proactive approach. I intend to attend some finance committee meetings and really make sure that I'm doing my best to bring jobs to Rhode Island and to improve the economy in whatever way I can.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And State Senator Donna Nesselbush, Democrat of Pawtucket.
Thank you very much.